So what happens when striking workers and their employer just never agree? From Marketplace, I'm Sabri Benishore, in for David Brancaccio. Around 1,400 Kellogg's cereal plant employees have been on strike for more than 2 months. Earlier this week, they voted to reject a contract offer from the company. After 19 rounds of negotiation this year, Kellogg says it's done. It'll start permanently replacing the striking workers, which raises a question. Can Kellogg's do that? Marketplace's Nova Sappho is here with the answer. Good morning, Nova.
Good morning, Sabri.
So this move by Kellogg struck me because it's not something we usually see companies doing. So can Kellogg's just, you know, say, all right, new workers, we're replacing all of you?
Right. Well, the answer, as with a lot of legal questions, Sabri, is it depends. There are some criteria that Kellogg's has to meet. Chief among them, it has to be careful that it doesn't appear to be retaliating against striking workers. And Kellogg said what it's doing is in the interest of business continuity. But yes, if it meets legal criteria, Kellogg's can permanently replace workers. And when we asked Rebecca Given about this, she's a professor of labor studies at Rutgers, she told us this option may not be around for long.
The general counsel of the National Labor Relations Board just over a week ago said that she's interested in taking a case that would re-examine that matter of law. So Kellogg's may be providing the opportunity for a ruling that would actually make it not so easy for employers to permanently replace striking workers.
But for now, though, I mean, does this mean the strike is over, or are all the workers just fired?
No, not necessarily. The strike continues, and in this tight labor market, there are doubts about whether Kellogg's can even fill 1,400 jobs very quickly. That's how many workers are on strike. What Rebecca Given told us is this may be a way for Kellogg's to gain some leverage to get workers to agree to a contract. We'll have to see if she's right.
All right. Marketplace's Nova Sappho, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
For months now, daycare and preschool centers have struggled to hire staff and teachers. And to this day, recruiting is not getting any easier, according to a new analysis from the UC Berkeley Center for Childcare Employment. In fact, the childcare sector recorded 2,100 fewer jobs last month than it did in October. And a lot of childcare centers are just taking in fewer children, full stop, which in turn makes life more difficult for parents who need childcare to work, which in turn makes it difficult for employers who need workers. Marketplace's Amanda Peacher has more.
At Genesis Child Development Center in Burlington, North Carolina, Davina Woods leads a group of toddlers in a song before snack time. Woods opened up this daycare in 2020. She cares for 12 kids.
It was quite nightmarish finding teachers.
In fact, to hire one very experienced teacher, who's a grandmother, Woods had to offer a daycare slot to her grandson. Woods had worked with that teacher before.
I know her and I trust her.
But still, a scramble. Leah Austin with the Center for the Study of Childcare Employment at UC Berkeley says the job loss in the industry isn't surprising.
You know, wages are incredibly low. Poverty rates are high for people who do this work. And there are just not enough resources in programs today to increase pay and benefits.
And with fewer teachers in the mix, families feel the crunch too, because there's more competition for the daycare slots that do open up. I'm Amanda Peacher for Marketplace.
All right, let's do the numbers. The FTSE in London is down 0.2%. Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ futures are also down around 0.4%. With the Dow future down 118 points, the 10-year Treasury yield is at 1.496%.
Hey everyone, it's Rima Khreis, host of This Is Uncomfortable. If you're looking for some good recommendations on books to read, well, you should join This Is Uncomfortable's Summer Book Club. Every other week in our newsletter, we'll share a new book that'll make you rethink your relationship to money, class, and work, while also featuring an interview with the author or an expert on the topic. Plus, when you join, you'll be entered in a giveaway where you could win some This Is Uncomfortable merch. Be sure to check it out. Sign up today at marketplace.org/bookclub.
Spotify is in a fight with comedians, specifically over royalty payments. Spotify has now taken down the work of hundreds of them off its streaming platform. It's the latest front in a long struggle between the creators of content and the tech firms that host it. Marketplace's Andy Euler has more.
New York City comedian Eddie Brill was David Letterman's warm-up act for more than a decade, and he used to book the show's comedy acts. He's been doing stand-up for more than 40 years, so he says he's used to arguments about money.
Back in the old days, you know, people say, well, look, we'll give you exposure, and that will be terrific for you, and they keep all the money.
Now, nobody was talking about streaming comedy shows back then, but he says this new fight feels kind of similar.
It's our money. We just want it.
What comedians want is the same deal musicians and songwriters have. There are two royalties for music, one paid to the performer, the other paid to the songwriters and composers. The BMI or ASCAP on the labels of LPs are the organizations that collect and pay those. But when it comes to comedy and spoken word, there's a difference. David Israelite is president and CEO of the National Music Publishers Association.
When Spotify and other streaming services license music, it's regulated under law. The issue about them licensing comedic performances is not regulated under law.
Jeff Price is the founder of Word Collections, a digital rights management company launched last year.
Comedians never thought I'm going to make my money from being a comedian off of the public performance and reproduction rights of my literary works. They make their money off of live gigs and off of production deals and TV shows and movies. But the light bulb's beginning to go off.
Which is welcome news for David Israelite and the songwriters that he represents. For him, the more the merrier.
Spotify and others' attitudes toward comedians is really just an extension of how they've been treating songwriters for a long time.
Spotify didn't respond to a request for an interview. It's likely that the next front in this battle will be in a courtroom. I'm Andy Euler for Marketplace.
In New York, I'm Sabri Benishore with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
Hey everyone, it's Rima Khreis, host of This is Uncomfortable. If you're looking for some good recommendations on books to read, well, you should join This is Uncomfortable's Summer Book Club. Every other week in our newsletter, we'll share a new book that'll make you rethink your relationship to money, class, and work, while also featuring an interview with the author or an expert on the topic. Plus, when you join, you'll be entered in a giveaway where you could win some This is Uncomfortable merch. Be sure to check it out. Sign up today at marketplace.org/bookclub.